You're listening to the Movie Crew Podcast. Tonight we talk about director Jonathan Glazer's The Zone of Interest.
You no trouble. Me, fifth element. Supreme being.
You will be a weapon. You will be a minister of death, praying for war. But until that day, you are cute. Sound off like you got a pair.
I was wondering what would break first. Your spirit or your money?
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
God is dead.
Satan
lives. The year is won.
Fill your hand, you son of a bitch.
The city is headed for a disaster of biblical proportion.
What do you mean, biblical?
What he means is Old Testament,
yes.
Mr. Mayor. Real wrath of God type stuff.
Dead fire and brimstone coming down from the skies. Rivers and seas boiling.
40 years of darkness, earthquakes, volcanoes, the dead rising from the grave.
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria.
Welcome to the podcast, Movie Crew Podcast, Movie Makers Talking Movies. We're your hosts. I'm editor Brian Elkins. With me here tonight, cinematographer Jared Kellen.
Guten Tag, Brian.
Damn it, dude. We've already said subtitles if you're going to do this. I don't... English.
You make me read a movie, bro. This is what's going to happen.
All right, okay. I guess that's a, you know, tit for tat is what they say.
Yes, lots of tits.
Wait, what? Not in this one. All right, anyway.
No.
We also have back returning after a hiatus, director of photography, Mike Griggs.
Oh, hey.
Oh, hey, buddy.
Skipped all the good ones and came for this one, huh?
No, I tried to skip this one, too, and I just...
Fuck. You know, if we just do enough dark ones, eventually he's just going to have to show up.
Yeah.
Right, because that's what made it... never mind.
And we also have with us costume designer Kristen Jones.
Hello, hello.
Hey, hey, and here we are talking about The Zone of Interest. A two-time Academy Award-winning movie. Won Best International and...
what else did it win?
Best Sound.
Best Sound?
Fuck, yeah. Best Sound.
Oh, yeah.
That was the best part of this movie.
What? Do you really think it was the... I think this is a masterclass in juxtaposition.
Explain.
Okay. What do you mean? Like, explain. Like, dude, like, think about, like, the horror that this movie is showing, but without showing any violence. You know what I was complaining about in, like, Funny Games? This movie, yeah. Like, said, fuck you. No, look, we can do that. This guy disproved my whole, like, we need violence to help us feel, identify with characters. Right?
Right.
And this movie breaks that. And still makes because it shocking and still makes it hard.
That's just because there's a lot of preconceived notion already. Like you know, we all know that the Holocaust happened. We all know that it's incredibly terrible.
Well, so, unfortunately, that is no longer true. There are many people that don't.
That's what I'm saying. But I was about to say that. But if you actually went into this not knowing anything about the Holocaust, then it might be interesting to, you know. You have to kind of know everything about it to really have those feelings throughout it.
Yeah, maybe. Interesting, I think, is a bit of a strong word for this movie.
You don't think this is interesting?
Oh, my God. I was bored to fucking tears.
Mike!
I wanted to kill
what?
Myself. I wanted to climb
no,
that
no,
fucking
all that
wall
lends to it
and
so
find
much.
One of the... No. No.
Yes.
No. No.
Yes.
Because this movie is not
about anything.
I drink
the Kool-Aid, Mike.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
No, I totally disagree with that. It is about a lot, man.
No, hold on. The entire point of the movie is what are we ignoring? What evils in the world are we ignoring because we have a comfortable life? I think that's very relevant.
Yeah, but I'm saying the plot of the movie, there's very little that happens. And they make you sit on every fucking frame, and there's, like, no camera work
of anything.
I mean, anything,
if you're not thinking about the
wait,
images,
well, hold on.
Right?
Okay, I think, hold on, because I was reading a little bit about this, and they basically, like, hit all the cameras. Like, there's stationary cameras, right? Like,
yeah, no, every single room was just, had cameras rolling from one frame. Correct.
I think that's
10 cameras at a time per scene.
Point of view. I mean, Could it have been, I mean, different? Yeah, of course. But I thought it was actually interesting and captured more of the daily family life, which is what I think they were going for.
It, instead of like pushing the camera around and you thinking about that, it causes you to stare into the humdrum life, you know, like because the camera's not moving and they're long shots, it gives you so much time to like scan everything in the room, and then you get to see all the little things in the background and all the stuff that's going on and all that.
There's so many details.
It gives itself to the voyeuristic feel.
Yeah. No, it is. It is a voyeuristic movie. It is bordering on documentary style because of the way that they're doing it. You are supposed to just. It's. I understand all the things that they're doing. It's boring, man. Like it doesn't. It's fucking boring. Like there is a huge juxtaposition. Yes, all the sound effects are fucking brilliant. That's literally the best part of this movie, is because you do understand what is happening in the background.
Yeah, but then you're seeing these perfect idealist moments, these family moments that we all identify with. Like that's what makes it so fucking horrifying, is that they are us. We are them. We're no different from them. We're just in a different fucking goddamn place in a different country, in a different time period. That's the only difference here. Like it's fucking mind-blowing and makes it more horrifying than if we did go into it like a Schindler's List or a Night and Fog scenario, where we're just showing like I don't know. I guess then you're sensationalizing the Holocaust,
the violence, yes, and the horror.
Exactly.
Sure. Yeah.
And now who are the villains? I when I got done watching this, I felt bad. I'm like, holy shit, I'm a villain. Think about all the shit that I let go of my fucking life that I just bypass every fucking day and don't even fucking think about it. I just, oh man, at the end of this movie, fucking, like, I jaw dropped.
It gives you a lot of time to be internal, which is also very interesting, especially with how they open in black with just sound.
Oh, for 4 fucking minutes?
Right, because they're letting you know that, you know, it's more about what you're hearing than what you're seeing.
And they're
then, you
setting
know, they're setting that vibe.
Yep.
They're also,
yep,
like,
yep,
giving
and they fucking
you,
lost
like,
me in that first 2 minutes.
That's right. You know what? Hey, man, that they're like, look,
listen,
if you can't handle this.
No, I get it.
It's about
I understand
to get
the
worse.
Point of the movie. I understand what the movie is trying to say. I'm just saying this was a fucking boring way to get there. Like, sitting on all these fucking frames where we're like, the one time we cut is because the dog decides it wants to walk into the other room. So we're going to see the dog for a minute. And then we cut back and it's still just fucking nothing happening. Like, I understand the mundanity. I understand the juxtaposition. But I'm just saying it's executed in a way that is not interesting to watch. It's not, it's fucking boring. Oh, you're going to say that's the point of the movie? Is that
no,
it is boring?
No,
is
no,
that
no.
It's everyday
just,
stuff?
Man, no. It's just sad. Like, that is like, it's like we've been addicted to our phones so long, we can't sit down and watch an hour and 40-minute movie.
No, fuck off. No, fuck off.
Come
no,
on.
No, I'm saying I wanted a goddamn camera angle. I wanted to see a fucking close-up.
Oh,
I wanted to see some
overs. There
were
close-ups, and when they cut in, like, they mean something here.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Every time there's a close-up, these close-ups carry way more weight than in any other film you've watched in the last fucking 10 years. These close-ups mean something, and when you see them, you're like, well, holy shit, that was a close-up. Why was that there? What is that kid playing with? What is he touching?
No, cinema.
No, yeah, like the... Oh, I love this. I love seeing everything in focus. I think that's the point, right? you can accuse the Jonathan Glazer of being like a slave to his style, but like...
That's a gentle way to put it.
That's the whole
actually...
thing.
I completely agree. Mike, I kind of see what you're saying, but like for me, it felt more like with the stationary cameras, it felt more like they, because they were still so stylistically done, it felt like I was just looking at like a picture. And like when you go to the art museum, you could easily just walk through the entire museum in like 5 minutes. But you stop and you look at these things and you're studying all of the details and what's in this corner and why is that there. And every single thing has a purpose. And if you don't know, in general, I'm saying not you specifically, but in general, if you don't know the symbolism, if you don't know what you're looking at, then it's super boring. But when you take time to study each shot as like a painting, for example, there's so much there. I mean, I watched this movie twice, and I think I'm going to watch it a third time because I think I know I still miss stuff because I was reading about it online and I was like, oh, I didn't even notice that at all. This is chock full of symbolism and details that you actually do have to know about. I think that's the one movie's downfall. Yeah, we know the Holocaust happened. even though some people don't believe it. But we all know about it, okay? And but to get all of those details,
there's even more.
Yeah,
these are real people.
Well, okay, I think
like,
there's
this
so
is all
much
based
more.
On these are actually based on real characters.
Correct.
This location
they're
is
real
a real
people.
Location.
Yes.
Okay.
Like, all of
I think
it,
yeah. My favorite. I did enjoy the little girl who put the apples in the thing, and I thought that I enjoyed that whole thing, and we can talk about that in a second, but. What I think my favorite detail was the behind the scenes note of Jonathan Glazer, who was like, yeah, this is too depressing and I didn't want to keep making it until I met that little girl who was at this point a 90-year-old woman. And he was like, that's the reason that I could keep going and keep making the movie is because there's hope here. I'm paraphrasing. He said it probably much nicer than that. But I thought that was so poignant. And I love that because at first you're like, why is this in the movie?
And why is it shot in,
inverted?
Yeah. Oh, I actually really liked that. I have no idea if this is why it was done, but I like it. So we're going to say it. She is the bright light. She's the hope. She is doing the resistance and she can only do it at night and it's so dangerous. And so I kind of like the infrared lighting. It makes you pay attention. It makes you really stop and go, what is she doing? What's happening here? And yeah, even though she's the only good thing in the movie, she's in so much danger and you get that. And she is so exposed because she's out at night putting out apples for prisoners. Like, I think that's kind of amazing, actually.
Did some research, and that's shot on the FLIR FLIR X8500 thermal military grade infrared camera. That's why it looks like that.
Yeah, it felt like military type kind of thing.
Yeah.
Interesting choice.
I think it's just done that way so it stands out different.
Yeah. It stands out. It also reminded me.
It's overlaid on the Hansel and Gretel thing. Like every time he's telling the story.
One time it is. Another time it's about a swan story. No, the other story is about a swan.
It is.
It's just allegories.
It's the stories. Stories he's telling. Okay. Whatever that whatever that was. It's just an allegory. Every time Dad's telling the little crazy girl who's is she like sleepwalking or what's the little girl he keeps finding?
The chimney's keeping her up at night, right?
So that's one of the things is how I loved how the kids are, even though they're not in it and the parents are like have created this little ideal society like world for them, the kids are affected by it. And yeah, the girl can't sleep.
That's why the mom leaves, because the mom was in that same room and then she leaves.
Dude.
We see like that bright orange light just fill that home room up at night.
That which I love,
the
and actually
furnace. That's the most ominous shit in this whole movie.
The first time that like when she's taking a tour of the back garden, that's like, you know, the wall of fucking Auschwitz concentration camp is their back wall of their house, and they're taking the walk out there, and then like someone starts screaming, and the mom like stops and like looks, and she's the only one who really like of the family that, like looks toward that. You know, when that's happening, everybody else kind of like ignores all the gunshots and screams.
Well, it's because she's the only one that like is also telling them to like, hey, go fix that shit when that's happening. That's her momness coming in and being like, why are you allowing these people to be loud near my kids? Like, go take care of that shit. Like, she is one of the biggest racists in the whole movie, which is really interesting to observe.
Wait, the mother-in-law?
I was talking about the mother-in-law, but yeah.
Okay, I got it.
Yeah,
you were talking about the wife.
Yeah,
you're talking about the mother-in-law. Gotcha.
You said the mom.
Exactly.
Sorry.
They're both moms. Hey, look, everybody's a mom. You know,
her
I'm a mom, you're a mom,
the mom's mom.
Hey, I'm not a mom.
But on that, the mother, the grandmother, the older woman, she's also the only person who names a Jewish person by their actual name.
Well,
her curtains were
so fucking awesome, you know?
Yeah.
Well, no, but she also used to work for a Jewish lady. Like, I think that's so interesting is that these people, you know, came from nothing. They were poor, like very poor, which you can also see just by watching the way they walk. But and the way they move and the way they like, it's so very interesting. And now they're just basically grabbing all of this money. Like, I love that scene with the fur coat and the lipstick because they don't have fur coats. They don't, like, lipsticks were rationed. Like, this is all very expensive stuff that they're stealing.
She's the queen of Auschwitz.
Well, yeah, and that's what I'm saying. It's like, no, but I'm, well, listen, I'm, I guess if that's what, yeah, of course she gets it. But I'm saying, though, like, she came from nothing. Her mother was a cleaning lady. That's
right.
For a Jewish woman. And I find all of this stuff very, the little details that they've mentioned are very interesting. And I think that's one of the reasons, you know, you can, the mother-in-law is, yes, an anti-Semite, but killing them might be a bit too far. Or maybe she's okay with them being killed, but she just doesn't want to see it. I don't know.
Yeah,
that's never really
clarified.
Yeah.
I don't think she wants to think about it, right? I mean, I think that's what everybody... There are moments in the movie where, like, you see characters actually reflect. There's a moment, like, what was it? Like, after the river incident, right? That's the first time you see Rudolph, and he's, like, actually, like, sitting down, and he's, like, just staring at the ceiling. You're like, what the fuck? Is this guy actually feeling bad for a second? And then he goes like, oh, well, hold on. We got to figure out how to guess and burn a lot more juice per hour. So, and then you're like, oh, well, never mind. Back to being a fucking murderous asshole.
In the second river scene, when he takes his boat out, his birthday present out with the kids, and then a couple of the kids are swimming, and then he finds like some human bones in the water.
Yeah, that's the scene I'm talking about. Yeah.
Well, I thought you were talking about after the opening scene. Is also down by the river, and then it shows him in bed, kind of like staring off.
No, not in bed.
He does that a lot.
No, not in bed. Like he's like in his office, like staring, looking up in the ceiling. It's the first time you ever get like a, oh, what is he thinking about? This is weird.
Yeah, but he could also just be thinking about, you know, how to reprimand people. How can I say this? Because there's that scene with the lilacs also.
Oh, with the flowers, yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that too for a second, but then when you get to the end of the movie and you have the vomiting, I have to disagree with that. I think that scene's in the movie for a very specific reason.
What's the vomiting about?
Then? I can't. I agree with you, and that's what I thought. But then I saw some discourse that was saying that possibly that scene with him choking was to foreshadow that that's where he dies, because they have the trial and execute him there in that building.
I mean, maybe, but he's looking down the hall, and then you're looking at his.
It's about, because that's okay. So it's a historical context here that this is just before he gets that huge shipment of people from Hungary, where they're killing 8,000 people a day, right? Mm-hmm. That's right before. Yeah. That's what that scene is.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, I would hope you would take some time to reflect on that, but clearly, this is his job. He's not.
I don't know. I think that's the best part of that whole movie is when he's leaving and he starts retching and like doing those noises and dry heaving in the fucking halls. And you're just like, what the fuck? Does this guy fucking finally realize? And then when you're cut to the modern day Auschwitz with the fucking museum, the memorial, and you're watching people clean shit and we're behind glass. We're looking at this shit still behind glass. Oh my God. It was breaking my brain and horrifying me.
I thought the modern day scenes were kind of horrifying also.
I thought they were more horrifying.
Thank you.
It makes you complicit in it. It's just like, oh my God. I've been around stuff like this and I'm just looking at it again behind glass, completely disengaged from it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like this is something that happened in the past. I'm not even thinking about how it's affecting us now, what we're talking about now. It's fucking so powerful. And just with images and fucking sound, you don't hear anybody talk. Nobody comes out and explains anything to you. You just feel the moment. Most powerful thing I've seen in cinema in a very long time.
Yeah, I agree.
Fucking goddamn, they're evil. Fuck. But I guess that they're not, though. I mean, like, you know, like, that's the thing.
No, that's what I love about it is, like, yes, they're so evil, but they're also human beings. And so you can see yourself in them. And I really love that they're taking essentially villains, right? And humanizing them. And I think that's so, 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 so important, because so often the reason that we ignore the evil shit that people do in our daily lives, whether it's our friends, our family members, even just our politicians, is because it's like, oh, well, but you know, like we talked about sports the other day, it can't be that bad. Surely she wouldn't have done that, because like I worked with her once and she was cool, you know. And we make up these excuses because we know that these people are human. And I think it's so important to look at these people and know that they're also human and they also are trying to have a good life. You know what I mean? Because now we can actually sit here and go, no, this is fucking evil. You need to stop. You know what I mean? Like,
it makes it more scary. Like when they're not Steven Spielberg, evil bad guys running around chasing Harrison Ford.
Exactly, because that's what we want our villains to look like.
Yeah, right.
And that's not. They don't look like that. That's not accurate.
No, they look. They look like people in a boardroom talking about how to get numbers higher and how to have better efficiency in all of their processes. Like,
I do
capitalism.
I do like even all the other Nazis are like, look, the captain of Auschwitz, you can't kill all of the Jews. We need some of them for slave labor. And like they're actually starting to worry, like, oh, is he just gonna burn and gas everybody? Is he gonna leave us any slaves? Oh my God. Our businesses.
Don't worry. You'll get your 20%.
Well, but I mean, kind of on that, I also really I loved the scene where they were like, it's like the air conditioner salesman, but for crematoriums.
Yeah.
So this one
goes here, and then this one does that. And wait. So you're saying this one and that one?
Yeah. And because if I don't remember correctly, like that was like the cutting edge in crematorium styles that like they hadn't made yet. And they were trying to sell it to them so they could get enough money to make it.
It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
How we got our modern day crematories. Yeah, awesome.
Well, apparently that was actually a real design, but it never got made.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, for real? Yeah. It didn't get made?
Yeah. No.
They put in the order, but then everything was over by the time, you know, it never got a chance to be built.
Well, it would have been nice to have that tech so I could at least like walked out with a little bit of a smile. It'd be like, yeah, they didn't build the super burner. Thank God. Lucky us.
Oh, it just pops up at the end. It's like, and they were never able to build the super, the super crematorium. We never saw Rudolph again.
Oh, my God. I think he was in hiding for like 2 years. I was reading it. I forget where he was. He was hiding, and they found him by
his
wedding
wife.
Ring. Yeah,
he caught his wife, and she
gave up his location, and then they actually found
Holy
him,
shit.
And they confirmed it was him by taking off his wedding ring. They were gonna chop his finger off if he didn't take it off and show it to him. And his name is inscribed on the backside.
So it was hers, both of them, right?
Rudolph
and Hedwig.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
But she never had to work a day in her life, even after, because she didn't go to jail, right? She was, she just lived happily in Germany, quietly in Germany. But one of her kids moved to the U.S., so that's cool. One of the daughters.
He still has one daughter left, too. Still alive. I think I was reading on Wikipedia. Yeah. One of the five kids.
The crying baby.
Look, even the dogs and the children, just know.
Yeah.
They know.
Well, yeah, I thought the dog was never settled, and the dog could never, like he was always, and the baby, too, was always crying. Like, the older kids had gotten used to it, kind of. The dog and the baby, like, could not.
Watching them play and, like, act out on each other was really interesting to see. Like
the
how
fucked
they
up
were,
shit that they would do, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
They're building
how they
their
were
armies.
Processing what was happening. And,
or they're locking each other in things, or, you know.
Okay, when he locked him into the greenhouse and then started doing the...
Yeah, what the fuck is that?
Well, some act of intimidation.
No. It's the imitating the... When they would...
The gas chamber.
Yeah, the gas chamber.
Oh, that's what he's doing?
Yeah, fuck. That's what he's doing.
All right, there you go.
Yeah, it's pretty fucked up.
Yeah, so I didn't get that the first time, but the second time I was like, oh.
Wow, yeah, that's fucked up.
Yeah.
Speaking of the gas, do you think that's why Dad freaked out when he found bones and body parts in the water?
Oh,
or is it that we're covered in dead people, or is it we may be covered in sarin gas?
Yeah, no, it's 100%. It's the gas things. Like
he knows
fucking toxic shit they're pumping into places, and if that has made it into the river, then other things could be in there as well. And
get the fuck out of the river.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it burned her though before then. There wouldn't be any more gas left.
I mean, one way or another, it's
ash and bone that was in the river, right?
You know,
I thought he was just upset that it was like contaminating their space.
I mean, there's a nasty shot where he does the nostril rocket and
blowing like soot out of his nose.
Yeah. That's so gross.
And actually, the next cut after that is this shot up on him where it's like you just see the sky and all the shit like floating around him and people screaming. It's just in this close up.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's fucking hardcore.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I recently watched Fade to White.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a. I came across a video where they explain how people get cremated. And you think that when you get cremated, there's ash, but there's not. What it actually burns down to is just like bone fragments, and then they take the bone fragments and they break them up in a machine, and what you get back is like bone meal, basically, that's been processed. So you don't really go down to ash. So
your organic skin turns to ash, bro.
I think it just burns away.
No, if you burn anything organic material, it turns to ash. That's like if you burn a steak too long, you know.
I'll send you the video, Brian.
It's going to eventually.
they're actually in a crematorium, and they show it, and they pull out the tray of bones and all that, and then put that through a machine to grind it all up, so they can put it in a bag and
give it
to your family.
Yeah, something's got to
happen. I always heard that what came out of the crematorium was a mix of ash and bone, and so yes, then they can process it and give that all of that back. But that's also why. Yeah, because they ask her, like, you know, do you just want ashes back or do you want, like, your specific?
Oh, yes. I would like to keep
not
the
for
femur,
people,
please.
But for animals. You know?
For animals. Like, holy shit. Can we keep his skull? Like,
I mean, people ask that.
I mean, you know, it'd be like a rabbit's foot, but, like, you know, a loved one.
No.
You know?
Like Uncle John. You know? Uncle John's foot.
Oh, my God.
I loved Bob so much. He was my first husband. I couldn't let him go.
What's that? Oh, that's my second husband.
I kept his left foot.
His favorite movie was My Left Foot. It was that bad?
That bad of a dad joke?
It's just like the fires are running constantly. And I love that the mother-in-law, when she has that one scene with the red, she like covers her mouth. And then it cuts to one of the kids lying in bed, and he's got a flashlight, and he's like reaching and grabbing at the dust floating in the air, like playing with it.
Is that what he was doing?
Yeah. On the second view, the mom covers her mouth, the older mom, and she's like, you know, cuts to him in bed, and he's like, there's dust floating in the air, and he's like reaching out and grabbing it. He's like lighting it.
Man, see, I didn't even fucking see the goddamn dust in the air. Yeah, that just went right over me.
The director says that the whole film is shot natural light. They didn't use any film lights. I call bullshit. Especially with how are they doing that fire effect through the window on Grandma's
those
face?
Those fucking lights.
Those are film lights.
Okay, I think they are film lights. I think he meant like for like the so much of it is like natural lighting. I think he meant like in general, like it's on a set.
I see they have all the overhead lights. You know, they just have like right. You know, fixtures up and lamps and all that kind of stuff.
Because I think it works. They use the light, the natural light in the house and the natural light from the sun. I love how the sun like washes shit out half the time.
It looks way too good to be
uncontrolled
so simply. Yeah, it's like, you know, kudos to them. I'm making this look as good as it does with how simply they shot it.
Well, they had the benefit of knowing every angle, so they knew exactly what they could put where and how it would play.
And all their coverage works because they're like shooting 10 cams on the same shot, on the same scene. So when you see somebody walk around, or like you think about at the pool party, how like, and I'm the whole time I'm watching this thing, like, where are they hiding these cameras? Because sometimes it feels like it has to be a second take because the coverage doesn't work.
Yeah.
Some of it does. Like, with the sun being exactly where it is, it's kind of neat seeing them walk the entire length of the set, you know, popping through different angles is kind of cool.
I actually really loved the scene when the girl who, I don't know if she's a slave or if they were paying her, but the little Polish girl is making him a drink in the kitchen.
Oh, yeah.
And she has, and they're, the Nazi women are talking in the other room. And you can kind of see them. And I thought that, and following her from,
and it follows her all the way through
out.
That
yeah.
That leads up to the salesman as well. And you see her shadow through the door that leads you into there.
Oh,
it all
yeah.
ties, which is really cool.
I think, I thought that whole thing was great.
Definitely one of the better moments of the whole time. Because it gives you a reason to want to lean into those conversations. Like, is this her listening to it? Is it just us listening to it? Like, are we complicit or are we part of the conversation or are we, you know, associating ourselves with this character?
Yeah, because she's just, you know, she's just doing it for work, right? Like, she just needs to live, and wouldn't it be like you always hear, obviously slaves are not good, but you always hear, this is if, as long as you worked in the house, you had a good life. And you're seeing, right, no, this right. is so fucking I mean, obviously, you know, it's horrendous, but to see, like, you really feel the tension, it's always there, it's always palpable, even though they're sitting around discussing their shopping of the, you know, remains.
Oh, you mean everything that they've stolen? You know, we found a diamond in the toothpaste.
But I think
they're
funny,
very clever, aren't they?
She's like, yeah. So I ordered more toothpaste. You never know. Like, it's so interesting.
Yeah.
The dialogue is so fascinating. How they try to keep it. It's so horrifying because it's so light.
They don't give you a chance to really like anybody, because anytime that you start to learn a character, and that's something that you do when you watch a film, you live along with these characters, and then you start to, like, you know, identify with them, and you like them in a certain way. But every time that you kind of start to know any of these characters, even the kids, there's always something weird and fucked up. And like with everybody, even like the one kid's like lying in bed, like staring at like people's teeth. Like gold teeth that have been pulled out of their head. It's like this random little.
But that's not fucked up. That's what a kid would do.
Yeah,
Where the fuck did he get these teeth?
Where do you think he got them?
What do you mean?
Dad's like, he's like, I brought you something from work today, son. Let me drop these fucking teeth in your pocket.
Dude, he's lives next door to a concentration camp. Like, literally, teeth have probably fallen off the other side of the fucking wall. What are you talking about?
Yeah, because, wait, teeth can't be burned in the crematorium. Jared, what'd you say?
Look, what are you talking about?
Yeah, well, hell, even the, oh, maybe the gardener gives them to him because he's out there, like, dusting the fucking plants with bone meal. Like,
Yeah.
That's so fucked up.
I gotta use all this dust somehow.
I love that too, because like the minute you see the fucking putting the ashes in the fucking vegetables, the first thing that pops into your mind is all the mom going around being like, "Oh yeah, see, well, oh, you know, the kids, they love these kind of beans. We got some carrots over here and some cabbage.
That's right.
And these are so good.
The dead people.
And you're just like, fuck, that's so fucked up. Mm-hmm. But you know what? Great fucking flowers. Those flowers were beautiful. You know, have you ever used human remains for your garden?
I haven't. I'm actually curious if that's a good type of manure.
Bone meal totally works as a soil enricher.
Just go to your local funeral home. Hey, excuse me, are you going to dispose of that dead person? Or can
I have ashes? Like, what are you doing with these remains? I have a garden.
I'd like to really help my tomatoes out this year.
I want a German garden. An authentic German garden.
Authentic
oh
German
my God.
Garden. Yeah.
Oh my God. No. These motherfuckers are stopping at Starbucks for their coffee grounds and then heading over to the crematorium on their way home.
Hey, it's all natural and organic.
I actually really loved their conversations when they were like, "This is this life, you know. Once this is over, we should just go be farmers. We should
go
really
be farmers. Yeah, really? Yeah.
Not we should. We are. This is the plan. Like, they've talked about it. This is a several times conversation that they've had.
I like how timid he is with her and everything in his like daily.
Well, yeah,
life.
She killed her husband in the other movie, so of course he was going to.
Oh, that's
listen.
True. He's like, holy shit! Yeah. Now,
did she kill? She killed her husband? What?
They were talking about
Anatomy
of
a Fall.
Oh, Anatomy of a Fall. I was like, I read about her, but I didn't read that part.
But now,
like,
for him to
German,
be...
I believe it.
For him to be coming home with blood-covered boots that the servants have to clean,
right?
That to what? Him, he's
Should
so soft-spoken.
Should we take our shoes off? Is it just him?
He's like, well, no, he just doesn't want to walk bloody through his house. Yeah. But he's so, like, reserved and quiet, and especially with how he deals with all his children and everything in his own house, that you know that he's, like, screaming and shooting motherfuckers outside of the house, you know.
Well, he keeps it at work. You know, he doesn't bring it home.
Don't bring your work home with you, Jared.
Right, yeah.
Only in his mind. He has those long thoughts.
Well, okay, but also this was, I know this is more of a traditional mindset, but I know a lot of people from this era had it, which was... the woman runs the house, right?
Yeah.
And so he's not going to come in and run shit. He's not going to come in and tell her what she's doing because she'll kick him out. That's she's in charge there, and he's in charge outside of the house.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Then that's pretty well illustrated there too. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what's happening.
Well, on that note, I think we're gonna take a little bit of a break here. We're gonna play the trailer for Jonathan Glazer's The Zone of Interest, and we'll be right back.
All our choices were made to reflect and confront us in the present, not to say look what they did then, rather look what we do now. Our film shows where dehumanization leads at its worst. It shaped all of our past and present. Right now, we stand here as men who refute their Jewishness and the Holocaust being hijacked by an occupation which has led to conflict for so many innocent people. Whether the victims of October the... Whether the victims of October the 7th in Israel or the ongoing attack on Gaza, all are victims of this dehumanization. How do we resist? Alexandra Bistron Kaladziejczyk, the girl who glows in the film as she did in life, chose to. I dedicate this to her memory and her resistance. Thank you.
All right, we're back. That was the trailer for Jonathan Glazer's The Zone of Interest. Well, I guess it wasn't the trailer. It was his Oscar speech for Best International Feature. Little poignant there. Little about today.
It's almost like he had things to say. They made a movie about it or something.
I think they shot this in 2000, 2001. Or, sorry, 2020 and 21.
Was that long ago?
Yeah.
During the pandemic?
I think the pandemic fucked him up for a while or something.
Oh, okay. Because I don't think he could be that close.
He takes forever to make a movie. This is his first movie since Under the Skin in, what, 2013 or 2014?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was going to say. That was a long ass time ago.
Yeah, he does a lot of research though, and they did a lot of like crazy shit on this to like try to make it as accurate as possible. They like went around and found a very similar area, and then built everything to scale. They went to the actual place and did like fucking measurements, and even did that down to the point of where how far away a gunshot would be is accurate in this film. Like really? When you hear a gunshot go off, it is accurate to where what it would sound like if it were that far away.
I was wondering about that, if the sounds were played up or not.
There's a reason that this thing, like, won fucking best sound, because like, everything that they absolutely. Did, yeah. Like, even to the point of, like, what a person would sound like screaming at a certain distance, they did all that stuff. They went to similar areas and recorded massive libraries of sound and created all these soundscapes.
Yeah, I don't know about the realism, but, like, in the moment, the emotional moment, it definitely fucking works. I mean, like, I've never once even thinking about the realism, just because it feels... the whole movie, it just feels real.
Yeah, I guess I was more curious about it when they show close-ups of flowers in the gardens and you hear the screams. Yeah. And I was like, am I just noticing it more because I'm focused on the garden? Or are they playing it up? Right.
Because we're sitting so long. But like, think about when it goes red and like we hear screaming, right? It's after we've introduced grandmother to the garden. They sit down. Then we show this like flower montage, and then it like cuts to a red screen. We hear people screaming. Then it just cuts, and it makes me think that my stream of the video fucked up. So I like rewind it, and nope, it actually gives a weird like cut, and then it kind of comes back, and then boom, now we're into the shot of the two kids like reading the guest book or whatever. Very odd things there. What do you think's going on there with the same thing
that's going on with the opening of the movie. Like they're trying to reset your focus and your mentality. Like, hey, this is what you need to pay attention to. And the flowers going from white to a red screen is like, look at the blood and listen to the people screaming. And again, juxtaposition is this entire fucking movie. Look at them just having fun in the garden while these horrors are happening behind them. And okay, now you're in it. Now you got it. Now we've hit you across the face with it. Now snap out of it. Now we're going to do something else.
Kids playing under a shower head while there's a shower head across the way.
I know, right? Think about that shit.
Yeah.
Is that kids laughing or is that people screaming? I don't know. Kind of sounds same. The same,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
The other side of the house.
While he stands and watches over it all. You know what I mean? Like, it's very...
Smoking a very nice looking cigar, by the way.
Yeah, bro. Yeah, that did look tasty. Good suit, too. He had a good white suit there.
Yeah, I thought it was so weird that he kept tucking his fucking tie in.
Bro, he's very military, man. He's got the you
is
know,
that a military thing?
Fucking hair.
Do they tuck ties in?
Fuck yeah, yeah. Fuck yeah, they do. Okay. They don't want anything hanging. A lot of times, especially the American military, they'll tuck it in like two buttons down in between. Yep. They'll flip it, like tuck it in there. What do you think about the costumes in this, Kristen? Especially all the crazy weird swimwear, like all the just the weird. Looks like everybody's like wearing burlap sacks, really. Just slightly. It, you kind of.
It looks accurate.
It's all breathable, you know.
No. I actually really loved the swimsuits. I thought they were great because you don't really see them. They make them. This looked. Yes, accurate. Whereas when they do that style, they still sort of use updated materials. This looked like some of them looked like they were fucking hand knit, which were really neat.
Yeah.
I have never really been one to drool over the Nazi uniforms like some people. But I thought everything was really well done. And the only thing that really bothered me was her hairstyle. I actually looked it up, and that is how she wore her hair.
Interesting.
I hated it, but you know, like she had the little
with the weird little
balls.
Yeah. Oh, dude, that was weird too. It took me.
At first I thought she was like setting her hair, like maybe this is how she curled it or something.
Mm. Yeah,
this is how she wore her hair. Yeah.
Interesting.
As far as costuming, I thought it was interesting. A very good choice to not throw a lot of like the red sash with the swastika on it, when you did see it. It was like, whoa, it was very poignant. Like there was a moment where one of the kids was dressed up in like the Hitler Youth outfit to go out onto kind of something with his dad. And he had the little red swastika. It really made that moment like hit really hard. Or like when you think about when he goes to the other town and everything's white
in
the snow in the park and you see the red banners in the background.
That was
they
really
hit
pretty.
Really hard. Yeah.
I also really enjoyed the the swastika eye sculpture.
Dude, it would be glowing. Yeah. Yeah, that was.
Could you imagine ordering that from?
I thought about that too. It's like imagine how many swastika eye sculptures are on deck? Do we have made behind the scenes ready to go?
Yeah, I liked that there was not a lot of Nazi paraphernalia all over, because why would they need it, you know? Why would they? So, yes, exactly like you said, when you do see it, you're like, wow.
The one that stood out to me was, imagine when he's standing in the water fishing, and then it cuts to the front side of him, like we're seeing like a head on to him kind of reacting to what he finds in the water. He's wearing like a wife beater, and it's got like a fucking like iron on SS like logo in the middle of his chest. I said, this looks so wrong. It looks like a he's wearing a modern fucking shirt. I was like, this is fucking weird feeling.
I like that a lot. Yeah.
It felt out of place.
What else is he going to wear when he's in the middle of a river?
But it was the SS like logo on his chest, like he was an SS superhero, you know? It's like right.
I mean, they see themselves as superheroes. You know that, right?
Yeah, I guess so. He is the king of Auschwitz.
It was actually really interesting for me to watch this, because I saw this documentary. It came out in 2011, I think, called Hitler's Children. And it was about the children who grew up right next to the camps, about these kids. Not just these kids, it was all of the officers' kids. And it was so interesting because so many of them, and it's been, you know, what, 13 years since I've seen it, so many of them were like, I had no idea what was going on. We just had like a normal, happy life.
Wow.
And now I want to go back and rewatch it, because how could they not have at least heard, right? Because I don't know that these kids knew exactly what was going on. Why would they necessarily? But yes, you can hear screaming. Yes, you can hear gunshots. Of course. And the smell, like you can't say you had no idea that something horrifying was happening. But that was kind of the premise that I remember from the documentary, was they were like, yeah, I had no idea my dad was doing that.
I like how the kid, he's playing in his room, and you hear somebody get in trouble for fighting over an apple, and they're like, well, just drown him in the river. And then the kid has this really like detached, don't do that again, Kind of like he's still playing with his toys.
No, but... doesn't he yell it? Don't do that again. Doesn't he yell
it? No, he says it. He says it like, don't do that again. Just kind of like said like that.
Oh, okay.
Very, very odd. Just kind of very...
Dissociated.
Day. Yeah, dissociated. There's the word.
I also thought the way he plays the drums, like he's beating someone.
Yeah, very violent. Yeah. And there's no reaction from the sibling. It just kind of happens.
Yeah. I mean, you'd have to be dissociated to live next to that. I mean, they are. That's the whole point of the film, right?
Right.
Yeah. That is definitely the whole point of the film. I don't know. It's just little kid stuff. It's just...
It is, but
in
context
of what's going around, you know, yeah, exactly. That's the thing. It's just like
The thing. Yes, it is. It is. Little kids do that. 100%.
They imitate things. Yeah,
but they also
more
imitate.
Juxtaposition.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Look at how these horrors are imprinting on these young minds, where they literally don't know anything other than this, and it seems normal to them. That's why they can be nonchalant and disconnected from it, because it's constant in their world.
Just like all the adults brainwashed by German propaganda. I'm sorry, Nazi propaganda.
Just how like the Nazi king is more in love with his horse than he is with his wife.
I mean, for reals, that he actually expresses like, I'm going to miss
like,
you.
I love you.
I really didn't understand. Like, I kind of, after that scene, and then it follows it up with him having sex with the Jewish girl or the housekeeper
whatever. That's real. That's actually one of the reasons why he got in trouble, like actually sent away to the other town, is because he was having an affair with one of the people who the locals.
Yeah, that's what the original book, The Zone of Interest, is about. It's
really?
Yeah, it's actually about a commander.
Mm-hmm. So they threw that in because that was factually true, but they didn't give you any fucking story on it. It's just some random chick that comes in and takes her shoes
off. But it's weird when you're watching the movie and watching this relationship, when you know, like. It's after that weird argument that they've had at the river, and he's already said, like, I thought you were going to come with me to this new assignment, and she's like, what? No, I'm
taking
care of
the house. You'd have to drag me away from here.
Right, yeah. And then his big affection moment, where the first time we've ever heard this guy say, I love you, to anyone, is his horse. And then he goes and has sex with, like, either a servant, a slave, or a fucking concentration camp member, and then washes his dick and... goes about his
gotta
life.
Wash my balls before I go home.
Yeah, and they have separate beds. It's just
the separate beds. What used to be normal. Also, I actually like that detail a lot. But you're right; they don't have a loving relationship. I think
I like the scene where
but
she's
the separate
like, "Hey,
beds were normal."
Like, are you going to take me back to that salon or whatever? And I like the ending of that scene where he goes, "You smell good," and she goes, "It's French." And he goes, "Meh." And he starts like, are French people supposed to be known as pigs? Like, why does he go oink oink oink? I thought French people were frogs.
No, it was into the earlier part of that conversation when they were talking about at that spa. They met some guy there that had something with some pigs or something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay. I thought he was just making fun of French people saying oink.
No. Yeah, I guess he was. It was an inside joke. I don't really know what the pig thing was with the other couple. It was cracking me up every time he was reading the fucking letters, and you get to the end and be like, yes, yes, oh, Heil Hitler, et cetera.
Et cetera. you know what to put here. You've written this 1,000 fucking times.
He's like, God damn, I got to fucking do it. Oh, yeah, Heil Hitler, et cetera. Yeah, you get it. Yeah. Very good. Move on. Man, I think I've covered everything in my notes.
I wrote down burn guy watching band happy tapping his flipper on his knee. That was an interesting shot.
Wait,
what?
Say that again. Burn guy watching knee. What?
Yeah, he's like when the guy's walking to work in the snow at the other city, and then there's like they cut to like a shell, like, you know, kind of like the Levitt shell here in Memphis, you know, and then there's like a marching band playing on the stage, and they're playing the song, and then it cut out to the crowd, and there's this burn victim guy.
He's like wearing a
giant
mask.
Smile on his face, like patting his knee with his like hand, with the fingers missing
that.
On his hand.
I
just
did not
like,
see that.
He's just kind of like, you're just enjoying the music. I was like, that's
he was
just
like
so
the one person in the
weird.
Crowd because there was
like,
I didn't
sitting
there
right
was
middle
nobody.
Of the crowd. Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
the crowd like, it was empty. Yeah. Interesting.
Hmm. Yeah, I was like, wow, this guy. It's so weird to see like someone like critically injured like that, smiling, just like, you know, enjoying the moment.
I really enjoyed the ballroom scene where you have all of these beautiful gowns, and he's like, how would I gas all of these people?
Right. I love the lens choices in that scene, especially the when they have this like really crazy like top down shot that's on a super wide lens where you're seeing the barrel of the lens. I thought that was kind of cool, like when he's like kind of examining it and it's kind of you're seeing his bird's eye view of everything.
Well, that's to reminisce of the way that he was considering the new crematorium thing was right. Like this top down circular situation. Like this is the way his brain is processing things. What is the right. most efficient thing that I can do?
And I think another thing that makes this movie feel documentary-y is that it is shot in 16:9. That is the actual aspect ratio. There's no bars or anything. It fills your full TV.
It does feel very documentary-ish, and sometimes that lends itself very well to the movie, and other times it feels like, oh my God, was this a reality TV show that we just have to wait for what's going to fucking happen?
But yeah, no, it is, he called it the big Nazi Big Brother.
Nazi Big Brother is the best description of this movie I've ever heard. Holy shit.
It sounds like, Mike, that you fall into this camp. I heard someone else say that this would make a really great short film.
I mean, yeah, it's like that. That's what? My problem with it. It's a brilliant concept, and it's for what it is. It's executed really well. It's just not an interesting movie. Like I think
that lends to the uncomfortableness of it, though. Making
I
you
mean,
sit, making
maybe,
you watch
but
this.
Like, what if we had normal filmmaking techniques? What if we had like overs and dollies and shit like that? Like, what if we were in characters' faces for their conversations instead of across the fucking room?
Then it would feel like every other film we've ever seen. How would that be
none
special
of them,
or different?
And he said he also didn't want to do that because he didn't want to have to like reset. You know, like you didn't want to have to like try to replicate like an emotion or replicate like these moments. We already have it all. We have.
It's called acting. That's fucking pretentious. Fuck off. I'm sorry. God damn. Oh, I don't want to reset my fucking actors. Oh, so you've never made a movie before? Fuck off. Oh my God.
I'll agree with that one. that I can get behind.
I'm just saying what he said, y'all.
Yeah, no, that's pretentious. I'm sorry.
No, that one is a little pretentious. But it does feel like I understand, like, how are you supposed to make a Holocaust movie now, like, after Schindler's List? Like, I mean, like, what are you supposed to do? You know, the road has been traveled so much.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, 100%.
That's
what I said
different.
When I watched it. I said, why the fuck did I just watch this instead of just rewatching Schindler's List? At least that has like an emotional journey that I'm going to go on.
Yeah, but this gives you a different point of view.
This is a different point of view, and this is a different emotional journey.
This hits harder to me than that. Yeah.
Well, especially
it's
I think
more sobering.
Not only is this like very sobering and horrifying and all of that, but we've kind of touched on this before. But when they cut to the modern day, that's when it really hit home.
Oh, for sure.
For me.
Yeah.
You know, you don't get like when you watch period pieces, you're like, oh, that's can't believe they did that so long ago. Like, what were they thinking?
Right. Yeah.
but no. What are we thinking is really the question. That's more interesting, I think.
That lady cleaning those shoes behind that glass. I was just like, oh, my God, it's just like me behind my phone. I loved that. I thought that was so great. Oh, so chilling. Oh, horrifying and disturbing.
And they just don't give a fuck. They're just getting their job done, you know, quickly, you know, just like blindly, not even looking, not even talking.
Yes. I think that's kind of it's the point, right? Yeah. They're just there doing their job.
It's the mundanity of it. It is the juxtaposition of look how you still have to do your job in the face of these horrors. When there are like 300,000 fucking shoes right behind this person, they still have to vacuum the floor because more people have to come in.
Being in that room in the gas chamber and then only it's just dark and you just see that pinhole light and you know that's exactly what it looked like. Like that's the first thing you see when we cut into that, into the modern world is like you're in the gas chamber seeing what they would have seen. It hits so fucking hard. Yeah. Then they start clicking on all the lights and you realize, man, it's perfect. And it's out of nowhere. It's done in such an interesting way. It catches you off guard and you're like, oh, wow.
It totally, it does get.
Yeah, I was like, wait, what the fuck?
Yeah.
What is this? What?
It's these bold choices that make the film stand out, like even more than its own style. But having these like moments is what gives it that payoff. And you leave, and at the end, they leave you like, you know, you're like, holy shit, is this the end? But we're just sitting in black for another 2 minutes or so. They just kind of
score
let that
comes
build.
In
the same way it fucking started,
and they just let that build.
I mean, I do have a high regard for that. Like, there's a lot to be said for finishing a movie and then just fucking sitting in the emotion that is at the end of the movie. That's why when people like, yeah, a lot more movies should do that by like just having credits that are, I don't know, fuck. People that get up and leave as soon as there's like the first credit. I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah.
Well, or the movie theaters that turn the lights on as soon as
the credits are on. Oh my God. Well, oh my God.
Fucking dicks.
Like,
they didn't used to do that.
Yeah. Or like the guy who's waiting to clean the fucking theater standing at the end of the ramp staring at me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm just like, I'm not leaving, bitch. I'm going to sit right here.
Going on tour with the movie, with a documentary that I fucking made, and then like the place that was playing it, like, turns on the lights, someone walks on stage and starts talking while the first credit rolled. I was like, motherfuckers, you can't let 3 minutes pass before you're like, well, that was fun that we watched that, guys. Wasn't that cool? Like, what the fuck?
Mike stands up. He's like, I could have my husband spread your ashes over the field. What's
wrong with you?
You did that in spite of me.
I'm right here.
Man, Sandra Hüller had a fucking year, right?
God damn. Yeah, she did. Yeah. God, yeah. She did. I hope she does more things.
Yeah.
Considering I've never heard of her, she's done two amazing movies back to back.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, Anatomy of Fall and Zone of Interest. I think I like Anatomy of Fall better just because it's more entertaining.
Fuck off. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
No. It's way more entertaining. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Guys, I'm sorry that I wasn't here to tell you how last week was so much fucking more boring than this. And then I saw this one and I was like, Jesus Christ. When are we going to have movies that are fun to watch again?
I thought both of them were fun to watch.
Yeah, no, man. They're very
brilliant. What are you talking
probably
about?
Probably one of the best movies
you guys
of the
can
year,
all
bro.
Just best fuck off. I appreciate all of your perspectives. They're just wrong. That movie was boring as shit, and I'm sorry.
Go back and watch a Marvel movie, Mike.
Yeah, for
okay?
real, dude. What are you watching?
You.
Fuck you.
He's like, I got Commando on repeat back here.
I think there's a new Spider-Girl or some shit out that you need to watch. Madam Web.
Madam Web.
Tell me about that one.
That is not what I said, and I resent the fact that
Madam Web, 10 out of 11. You know what I'm saying? It's almost perfect.
10 out of 10, almost perfect.
No, I said 10 out of 11, almost perfect.
Oh my God, what the
those goddamn Sony movies are so fucking terrible unless they're animated.
No, fuck you. Venom is great.
Okay, Venom's good.
The second Venom's kind of meh, but the first one's great.
The first one is great. I'll give you that.
That's the best thing they've done out of all their fucking superhero shit.
It's because that movie knew exactly what it was.
Yeah, and it was excellent. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right, fair enough.
All the other ones, I feel like I was outbid on curtains, you know?
Wow. I like how you brought that back around. I'm fucking here for it.
Fucking bitch. I just, you know, I love those curtains.
I mean, every time I walk into her house to like clean, I was like, damn, I love these curtains. I'd like to have them in my house one day.
The only thing I was disappointed was is another German won those curtains. So I couldn't, couldn't gas them and burn them.
Yeah.
And re-auction them again. God. So terrible. What a bunch of crazy people. Did you guys read Richard Brody's New Yorker review of
this?
I think
he's completely off base.
What does he say for those of us who didn't read it?
He said it should have been a short film. The movie's too slow. No.
That's what I just said. No, what did he say?
That's pretty much, well, he called it pretty much a Holocaust porn, you know?
Yeah.
Said, well, Holocaust porn? What?
He missed the point.
Yeah.
What?
He missed the
Holokitch.
Holokitch. That's where we go. Thank you. Oh, it was so great. What a great word.
Yeah, it took me a second to understand the word. I thought it was just a word I didn't know, and I tried Googling it.
Basically, in his point of view, you really shouldn't do a movie about the Holocaust, really, because it is what it is. It's played out. You're all this. But he's missing the fucking point. You know, mm-hmm. We've never seen this side before. We've never seen, you know, it, just because you're, and also it's kind of like it was glorifying it. Really, wasn't he saying that too?
He also had that level in it.
Yeah, but it's not. Like, just because you're showing these people as people, that's the point.
That's not glorifying.
No, there was, like, a whole movement when this first came out of people who said this was a Nazi sympathizer movie.
Yeah.
And having seen it now, these people clearly don't know what they're talking about.
Depiction is not endorsement.
That's true.
Correct.
Exactly,
correct.
Yes.
That is the best way to say that. Holy shit, yeah.
Whatever. He's a critic for The New Yorker. I'm sure, you know. He was just having a bad day.
He has to play to his audience. All right?
No.
He's got to play to his audience.
His audience.
He knows who reads The New Yorker.
What? It was those same fucking liberals that were fucking cheering on goddamn Jonathan Glazer at the fucking Oscars. I mean, come on. I don't think The New Yorker audience is any different. I don't know.
But Jonathan Glazer got a lot of flack for that Oscar speech, too.
Yeah, he did. A bunch of Hollywood Jews came out and had like an open letter to say they disagreed with him.
Open letter to Jonathan Glazer.
Yeah, I mean, it had some big people on it. Like Amy Pascal signed it. Jennifer Jason Leigh signed it. I mean, there were some big, big names on there.
Not everybody has to agree, you know?
That's true.
Which, I mean, like, why are we signing a letter about anybody being bad or telling them to fuck off in any way, shape, or form when they're sitting there saying, like, hey, war is bad. We shouldn't commit genocide in any for any reason whatsoever. That would be bad.
Yeah, but you're not leaning toward our side, so.
Which makes no sense, right?
Yeah.
I think that honestly, that is what makes a movie like this interesting, is the way that it is embraced or not in by the culture. Because it's trying to make a statement. Obviously, this movie came out now for the sake of juxtaposing what's happening now with what happened then. And that's what makes this movie as a concept really interesting.
Well, it's kind of like you said, though, if you look at it on the basis of it, there's not much plot. I mean, it's basically like this family, you know, in a war-torn
area. No, it's a marriage story.
Just trying to stay together, you know, and dealing with fucking infidelity and all the, you know, the shit. But
it's,
you know, that's the surface level story. But
yeah, it's called
more.
Slice of Life. There's no plot.
Yeah,
sometimes that makes people really angry. I don't know why. I enjoy them.
I don't know if I would say this is a slice of life movie though, because it does have some plot in it. I mean, it's not completely devoid of plot. We're having like little confrontations and conflict that are developing in between this family. His whole moving is like that's a huge tension, and like once I don't know the first 40 minutes.
Yeah, but that's not conflict moving plot. That's this happened and then this.
No,
happened,
that's a conflict. Like they resolve that. Like we spend a lot of time on that, and we get a resolution from it. Problems occur. Like he's asking people to get letters and everything like that. We spend a lot of time listening to those fucking letters and seeing a bunch of shit.
And it's interesting how he doesn't really seem to, when he's away from his wife, he wants to call her and talk about his day and have all that moment. But when he's around it, like there, it didn't seem like he was too engaged. And I think it's interesting that when he's trying to engage with her over the phone later, she doesn't want to have anything to do with him. She's like, look, can't we fucking talk about this later? It's fucking 1 a.m, you know?
I do think some of it too was like when he left Auschwitz, he was not big dick. He was no longer the big man in charge.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's living in a tiny little room. He went from living in a castle, basically, to like this one little room with a fucking lamp. And, you know, he didn't even have a desk. All this shit's all over the floor.
Well, he's also lonely as hell. Like, he's at his office when everyone else has gone home. There's like 4 lights on in the building.
Right.
Yeah, so of course and there's a chance he's probably also drinking or something like that. Like, he's clearly like, they're thinking about his life, so of course he's going to try and call his wife and have some level of she's like, what the fuck, dude? Call me at a normal time.
Which is crazy, and it's just so crazy that someone who is actually, you know, I think in his, the actual guy, he is responsible for 3 million deaths.
Jesus Christ.
You know, someone that is just, you know, dwindled down to this person who's living in a tiny little room in some random city, walking to work every day. To try to make sure that all these people get killed in a timely fashion.
3 fucking million people. That's a shit ton of people.
He actually wrote a really interesting letter on his deathbed, basically waiting to be executed, apologizing for his part in against humanity. He actually finally realized.
Yeah. He was like, I thought about it, guys.
He's like, I finally actually kind of see what you. Okay, I deserve to die.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah. Now you don't sympathize the Nazi. He was forced to do that by the Polish government, motherfuckers. Okay?
Oh, you think that they're like, look, you write this fucking letter?
Yes.
Oh, you think so?
Yes. Go Wikipedia.
Like his
that
attorney
shit.
Made it. Oh, I thought it was like his attorney was like, it would be helpful.
Great. You know, you might be able to, like, some people have made it out of this thing alive. You know, your wife for once.
No,
you know?
He was dead.
He's like, that fucking bitch put me in
dead.
Here. Like,
the minute he was captured, he knew he was going to be hung. Yeah.
Well, they beat the shit out of him and almost killed him. And then somebody, like, stopped it. And they're like, hold on a minute.
You know, we need
to trial.
This motherfucker
because you don't get to kill him. These three people, we all want to watch.
Apparently,
him die.
They handed out a bag of axe handles and let these motherfuckers go to town on him.
It's when you just got to kill somebody in the town square so we can all get over our trauma together.
Yeah, let's all watch someone be disemboweled. I mean, bring the children.
He was hung. He wasn't disemboweled. This isn't freaking.
Wasn't it? I mean, because they didn't hang him at Auschwitz, didn't they? Wasn't it opening or not? Couldn't you come watch?
I'm sure you could come watch, right?
Yeah, I thought
he was a fucking Nazi. I mean,
I know that they'd say that was the last person killed at Auschwitz was him.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Damn,
that seems that's nice and poetic. I like that.
Yeah,
I guess it didn't hit the budget. The budget was $15 million. It's made $43.9 million worldwide.
Hmm.
So it cleaned up pretty well.
Yeah, solid return for a solid investment. I'm sure most of that went to probably at least $5 million for all those locations and buildings and sets that they had to build like on location.
I think they said they got that garden and everything planted and built within 4 months. That's crazy. Wow.
That is crazy.
That's impressive.
So wow.
Shit. I wonder if they actually you think they brought shit in and then like fucking just planted in the soil, or they like had seeds and they were like, we're going to get this thing to grow.
Come on. There's no way they grew it.
Yeah. No, because it's supposed to be 4 years in. There's a whole dialogue about how three years ago we started planting some of the stuff, and next year this is going to be over there. And
shot it over two years, so there would be change at certain times, and even to go through weather and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, the main actor, the guy, he's like, I had to have this stupid fucking haircut for 2 years.
Jesus.
That was a dumb
haircut. I wore so many
haircut.
Hats. It was a really dumb haircut.
And then you look up pictures of the fucking dude in real life, and it's like, oh.
He looks exactly like him.
He's got that stupid fucking haircut, too, you dumb fucking Nazi.
No, he looks exactly like that guy. And I was like, wow, this is crazy. It's good cast.
Yeah, he's very similar nose and eyebrow.
Yeah. Same stupid haircut.
Oh, God.
That's all it takes.
But you know, they do look super fucking evil when they put the goddamn fucking hat on, though.
Dude, all
right? Because, it just covers up all the hair, and it looks like they have shaved
heads.
His birthday,
where they all show up, they're the most Nazi-looking motherfuckers, and all those close-ups are like, oh, man, congratulations, birthday. Every one of those motherfuckers looks like he would take on fucking Indiana Jones tomorrow. You know,
I'll tell you everything. Oh yes, I know you will, Fräulein.
I know you will, Dr. Jones.
Oh, do Germans actually say Fräulein? I don't know. You don't hear it much in German films, actually, do you? You do
bitte,
hear it a lot.
Bitte.
I think we're at ratings now. All right, who's going first? Who's rating this thing?
Look, this film makes you have all the feels. I don't want to hear what Mike has to say because I'm sure it's going to be bad. But, bro, this film is fucking incredible. It challenges us as filmmakers to see something different. But it's done at such a high fucking level, man. Acting's great. Everything's fucking... It's just brilliant, man. It's definitely a 10. It's one of the ones that I'll definitely revisit, and it's a film that will make you fucking feel things, and that's what we need more of. So, this has been a great year so far. We've been watching some fucked up films. Let's keep it rolling.
All right, Jared. All right,
I'm gonna go next, just so I can see if my brain actually has things to serve me to say this. I did not like watching this film in a movie going perspective. Like nothing about watching this movie was, man, it was just fucking heavy handed. Like everything was just like boring and slow and like, okay, we got it. And now we're going to sit here for another 8 minutes on the same thing that I already got in about 45 seconds. Like it just felt like this movie was a little bit like too, I researched this shit for a fucking decade and now I'm going to do all the things. And it's just, it's pretentious, man. It's like once you put it on screen, like we understand what's happening. That being said, there's a lot technically about this movie that is really, really well executed. The sets are fucking well designed. I like the voyeuristic aspect of the acting things. It was not fun to watch as a movie going person. I didn't enjoy it as a style, but if you're going to put actors in a scene and make them do shit, like this was kind of an interesting way to do it. All of the shots were well framed. They were well composed.
fuck, man, I just didn't care about what's going on. Like, I want to watch a movie and like be like, this is an interesting shot. Let me pay more attention. I didn't get that in this movie, so it wasn't fun to watch. Oh, it's a movie about Auschwitz where people are fucking dying. It shouldn't be fun to watch. Yeah, but it's a fucking movie. You know what I'm saying? It was not a satisfying movie-going experience. There we go. That's what I'm trying to
say. You were looking for the fun Holocaust movie?
No. That's called Life is Beautiful.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find the words to describe why this was not a movie that I want to watch again. Like, as a concept, it's fucking brilliant. As a conversation that we need to have as a society right now, yes, absolutely. Give me more shit like this. This would have been a great 45-minute short film. This was not a good hour 45 movie. I love the things the movie has to say. The acting is really well done. Like, everybody is just mundane and normal. And if you're going to create characters, which they're not created, sorry. If you're going to put characters on screen that are illustrating shit that we currently are dealing with in our modern society, both as Americans and as a world that is still dealing with things like this, this is a really interesting conversation to have. And I love that movies have these kinds of conversations. I'm sorry, it was not a great movie. I'm going to call it an 8 because I think it was worth having been made. And I like the fact that things like this are working, but at the end of the day, it's still a movie. I don't know how else to say it's not. Whatever. Fuck off. It's an 8. Someone else tell me how wrong I am.
Okay.
All right. Kristen's going to tell you.
You can tell him too.
Oh, he will.
No. I take issue with saying this isn't fun or satisfying because there's so – sorry, I don't need to directly address you. Let me rephrase this. Sorry, please feel free.
Please feel free.
Okay, Mike, listen up.
Tell me why this was extremely satisfying. This is a review. Let me tell you.
Let me rephrase it. It's my review. So sorry. I'm sorry. Yes. The reason I found this satisfying
– Well done. Here for
was it. Was because there's so much information here, the level of detail that goes into this, the amount of truth in this. You can sit here, and also I think there is something satisfying about the horror that's in this, the horror, the anger, whatever you're feeling when you're watching this is something that you can explore, that you can sit with as you sit through and as you learn and as you go. Like, you almost need, like I compared this earlier to an art museum, you almost need a guide so you know what you're looking at, so you can really sit and appreciate this. Because when I first watched it, I liked it a lot, and then I read more about it and what was going on, and I was like, holy shit, like, this is the amount of genius in this you don't even get just by casually viewing it. You have to know what's in this, and maybe that could be a detraction from the film if you just go into it thinking, oh, I can just sit here and come in not knowing anything. Like, that is, I think, the film's biggest weakness, is that you do have to know stuff to really appreciate it. You have to understand what's going on, and it makes you feel things that most movies don't make you feel. Most Holocaust movies are like, oh my God, this is so sad, but we're all better now. We won in the end. Yay. And you can leave feeling good about yourself, and you can leave feeling like, oh, but those people are the fucked up ones. And this movie shows you, it holds up a mirror and says, yeah, these people are fucked up, and so are you, because you're human just like them. Yeah. And that's what makes this movie so brilliant. And it's uncomfortable, but that doesn't mean it's not satisfying. Yeah. If anything, I think it's more satisfying to remember that you are also a human just like these horrible, horrible people. You are just like them. Hopefully you are acting differently and making different choices. But I think that is what is so satisfying about this, is that it just brings the humanity back to the conversation, which is missing when we all do it. We all become very righteous, and we're all like, we have black and white thinking, and you know, we have brought up Indiana Jones and the Nazis, and those are fun, but what are you learning from that? What are you taking away
Nazis
from that?
Nazis are bad.
Well, obviously, okay,
punching,
yeah.
You gotta punch Nazis.
This also, I think, tells you that Nazis are bad. I don't know that anyone can watch this and be like, oh, you know what? They had some good ideas.
Hey, you know, they took really good care of their children. Oh, wait, that wasn't
yeah,
them. That was their
I, they
help.
Were great parents, actually. I like how they sat
really
up with
well.
The baby. Yeah, no one's watching this and thinking
no,
Nazis
who was the woman that sat up with the baby?
That was the nanny, I thought.
Yeah. Helpers. But I didn't see her ever clean in the house. Anyway, sorry. Side tangent.
The house is very clean, though.
Well, but cleaning the house is a full-time job. Being a nanny is a full-time job. You can't do both. Contrary to what people think. No, you cannot
can be done by one woman. I'm
right, she can also be your personal chef and your driver
right.
and your
she
mistress. Obviously, yeah.
Remember,
and
the
why
woman
pay
handles
her,
the house,
right?
And
why
the
pay
man
her?
Brings in everything else.
Marry her, and then you get all of those things.
That's
is what
right,
Kristen
yeah.
is saying,
as
Jared.
As soon as you get married, then it happens.
Are we talking about the animated version of Peter Pan? Because the dog was also the nanny.
but the other thing that I really like about this movie is that you can take all of these ideas and extrapolate them out. This isn't just war. This isn't just the news you click away from because you don't want to see what's going on. Because, you know, what can you do, right? But this is also what are you buying? Where are you getting all your stuff from? We don't have the U.S. has been. Imports everything. We don't make anything anymore. And of course, that's a whole different conversation. But like the reason we make everything outside of the U.S. is so we can lower our standards, so we don't have to pay people, so we can cut corners. I mean, what are we doing so that we can live well here? I think this is a huge conversation that needs to happen. And
absolutely.
And I still want to go back to, I think this is beautifully made. I liked the shots. I understand your complaints, but he just chose a different style, and I appreciate the style that he made, the choices he made here. I love a lot of the period, the costuming, the hairstyles, even the production design. None of it feels stage. None of it feels like necessarily a costume. Yes, they look dated.
Well stated. Yeah,
they look
yeah.
dated, no, but they yeah. looked like they're lived in. Like, yeah, of course she would throw on this dress. Yeah, of course this is their swimsuit. I loved all of those little details, and I loved like the garden and the swimming pool, the house, like everything. Everything is just so well done. The level of detail here is immaculate. The acting is perfect. Yeah, I think this is a 10. I don't see how you could say anything else.
Mm. Amen.
Mm. All right, another 10. We'll just ignore that 8. man, look, there are so few films that come along that actually change what my preconceived notions of what films are, the rules that films should play within. That when something like this does happen, and man, I can't tell you the last time I've been in a movie theater and this has happened to me. I mean, it's been more than 5, maybe more than 8 years. It's been so long. I just seeing a movie with zero violence. Like, this movie could, outside of its sound effects, could be completely rated G. There's nothing shown. Everything is implied. And it gives you so much to think about, and then not seeing it, it also makes it so much more fucking scary and fucked up. You know, it's like when we're talking about hearing the guy drowning, right? Because he fucking got into a fight over eating apples, which is totally relatable, and we all understand. But not seeing that and just hearing a guy and seeing a kid on screen is one of the most upsetting images like I can think of. And we have like a Michael Haneke film, like Funny Games, where you have a thriller, right? And the whole point of that movie is like we want to make the audience feel bad because they enjoy home invasion movies, and those are violent and sick. So we're going to take out all the violence from that, and we're going to leave them in the aftermath. Well, then who are you making that movie for? The only people that are going to show up for that movie are the people that already like that stuff. So you're preaching to a choir. This movie takes that concept that Michael Haneke was trying to do in his really shitty direction, because that's and again this is what we're talking about, that is shitty direction. Now, Jonathan Glazer, what he's doing here is taking that idea, that concept, right, of not showing the violence, right, not even showing the aftermath, which I think is the brilliance here. What Jonathan Glazer does that really makes his directing stand out over everything else is it's so simple, it's so subtle. You have to think about all of this stuff. And when you're thinking about it, it's absolutely horrifying. That's what makes it so fucking terrible, because these things are stuck in your head. My wife and I went to go see this at Ridgeway 4 when it was out in theaters. And I cannot believe how much I missed in the first viewing. I didn't see it again until HBO Max, and I'm just because I got stuck on some of these images that I just could not, like while I was watching the movie, couldn't get them out of my head.
It's hard to read it and look at it too, though. You know, like to catch it all. No, seriously, not having the language and being able just to absorb it, right?
Yeah.
Like having to read it and then like try to catch because a lot of it moves fairly quickly at times where you're like, oh shit. It helps to watch it multiple times.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I wish I could have seen it a third. I just, man, to be honest, I need a little break from this movie. This movie's a hard watch. It's a tough watch. It's very draining. I feel like I need a shower. I feel like I need to go talk to a therapist after it. You know, I need some time. It's so heavy. I think this is the most emotionally like devastating film I've seen it in quite a while. It's like the G version of Requiem for a Dream. Just as devastating without any of the fucked up ass to ass imagery. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, ass to ass.
Yeah. and I didn't really think that was possible. I really to show like terrible situations in humanity. I really, until this movie came out, I could not even give you a good example where something like that has been withheld from me, where I felt a emotional connection to characters in a violent state. Like, I mean, that's what I'm saying. This is really something I have never seen before. Like that. I mean, to me, that says something. That means something. And I understand. Like Greg's that you were like bored through it, but like the entire time, like I was watching it, I'm thinking like this is literally something original. Like this, what Martin Scorsese was complaining about with all those Marvel movies. Here you go. Jonathan Glazer just gave it to you, Martin Scorsese. So please stop making fucking goddamn boring ass shit like Killers of the Fucking Flower Moon, because I would much rather watch this movie in its depressing, horrific state fucking 50 times over that movie one more time. You know, I'm done with it. Not to shit on a great, but, you know, come on. Anyway, just terrifically directed movie. It's absolute 10.
Would you like to make a redaction there, Mike?
Oh, fuck no. No, I 100% stand behind my entire perspective because here's what it comes down to. Again, my point was this movie is a great conversation to have. The concept is fucking brilliant. As a movie-going experience, I didn't care.
How could you not care? I mean, were you not horrified?
Because I've seen it before. Because
you've never
seen
this before. You've never seen it before.
Okay, the movie itself, the execution of the movie is interesting and new. But I've studied these things. I've seen other movies about Auschwitz. I've been inundated with World War II things. Like, this is not new information to me, is what I'm saying.
It's not new information. It's a new way to look at it.
Sure. Yeah. Yes. Which is an interesting conversation to have, but as a movie-going experience, it didn't work for me. There's wonderful execution of all of the elements that go into a movie. It's a very solid 8. It just wasn't a movie that I find good. I don't know what word to use. It's well executed, but I didn't like it. I don't know what else. I'm sorry. Like, I don't know what else to fucking say.
Now I'm understanding why Greg doesn't like horror films.
Like, not everything works for everyone. Yeah. It's not my cup of tea. It doesn't have to work for me. Hey. It was done well. I like the fact that it happened. I love the fact that it was made. It's just, it's not my cup of tea, man. Like, I don't know. I have no articulation for this. I'm sorry.
Well, this will get it. Disappointedly examining the ordinary existence of people complicit in horrific crimes, the Zone of Interest forces us to take a cold look at the mundanity behind an unforgivable brutality. That's the critic's consistency. But with the audience saying the Zone of Interest is a disturbing look at how easily evil can be normalized, although its slow pace may challenge some viewers.
Oh, challenge is a gentle word for it.
Rotten Tomatoes brings The Zone of Interest in with a 93% tomato meter, but an audience score of 78%.
All right, so what you guys are all telling me is next week we're doing Godzilla X Kong, the new Empire. All right, I love it.
All right.
Oh, you heard it here first. Big dumb gorilla is going to punch
the lizard. We're
going
to have a popcorn summer.
Damn it. Anybody got anything else? So with that, you've been listening to the Movie Crew Podcast. If you want to get in touch with us, you can do so by sending us an email to moviecrewpod@gmail.com. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at Movie Crew Pod. Jared, where can they follow you?
Instagram at Check the Gate.
Griggs, where can they find you?
I'm on Instagram at Griggsy Media. That's GRIGGSY Media.
And Kristen, where can they find you?
You can find me on Instagram at Kristen Magdalene. That's Kristen with a K and an I.
And you guys can find me on Twitter at Elkins Edits. And we don't have a lot of score options here. But the real question is closing or opening?
Which one's like, wah?
That's the shit in the middle. I don't have that, actually.
I like the closing.
You could just use the one from Dune, Brian. Like, no one would know the difference.
So we're going to play the an excerpt from the closing credits from composer Micah Levi. We don't. I don't have a track listing because I don't think the soundtrack was released. And if it was, I wasn't able to find it. So we're going to rip this from the movie.
All right. I'm going to go wash my junk in the sink.